Oh, what a blessed praise and worship this morning, huh? Come on, it was sweet. Maar nou nie so heilig wees dat jy nie kan gaan, dit was lekker nie. You know, I don't know what's it's a mense, you know, they weird. The moment they need to say something is good, dan bly almal stil. Maar laat ons moan, you know. Let's get negative, dan almal iets te sê. But we had a sweet moment this morning. I, with my whole heart, believe that God shifted things. And this message, that's Michael, by the way. Just say hi to Michael. Just place him on the spot. He's like, what? I believe that God's going to use this message to grow from where we started an hour ago. I believe that he's going to shift moments and lives. I believe he's going to speak. Michael, why did you walk all around? What's happening, drummers? He's going to move. And if you are open on this day, if you joined us last week regarding the table, God, he places a table. He prepares a table and then he invites and then we need to react upon it. You either go sit by the table he prepares or you do not. It's your choice. Now, the next couple of minutes, we're going to study his word just a bit more and we're going to go deeper into this pursuit series we're busy with, how to pursue and what to pursue in our lives. You see, because it matters what we spend time on. It matters what's going on in our minds. It matters what's going on in our hearts and lives. You see, and therefore we said, let's talk about pursuit. Because we are supposed to be in an active pursuit of our lives. If you don't have a vision, the Bible teaches, you will perish. As jy in jou lewe sit and you have no vision, you have no life goal, you have no end means, you will do nothing every day. You will just hang around and be improductive. You will not feel valued in life if you don't have a goal. See, God is that God. God is that God that teaches we need to pursue something. So that said, we're going to look at Exodus 3 today, so you can get it ready. You can get it on your phones. Don't look, well, you can watch the rugby, but we lost, by the way. Almal wat wil huil, jy kan nou huil. So we're going to just spend time on this quickly. Have you ever watched the movie? Come on. Have you ever watched a rugby game? Because that works as well. Yeah? I've watched some action netball games. All right? That is insane. Let's say Owens is erg, but I tell you, women, chicks, they go mad. Oh, blank out, slut, heart attack, it's crazy. But you see in life, in every story, in every moment where there's a movie and a story portrayed and there's a narrative, there's iets wat vertel word, there's a moment where something is conveyed through characters. You will see this and it's almost there always. There's always a good guy and there's always a, yeah. You get it, right? You see, in our life and time, when you look at rugby, the ref is always the bad guy. The other team is always the bad team. If they win and your team lost, then everyone is bad, even the supporters in the stands. Your dad's bad. You know, it's everything is just bad. But there's always a good and a bad in a story situation where there's a narrative. You see, when we look at the Word of God, you will see from the beginning of time, there's good and bad. There's Adam and Eve made good by a good God. And then there's a bad who's Satan, the snake, the serpent, and he enters this whole story. And there's a story around the good and the bad. You see, in the Word of God, one thing is true. There's a given. The given is that the good and bad will always be in conflict. The good and bad will always have a fight going. There will always be a pursuit towards victory from both sides. See, the good and bad is oftentimes us. Your life consists of good and bad. Every time SARS phones at them, then we go like, bad guys. Every time the doctor phones you like, I don't want to talk about this. There's a good and bad. Every time you maybe get out of bed and that pain just goes through your body again, there's a good and bad. There's a good God in your mind, but there's a bad in your heart and life and in your mindset in that moment. Like, why me? See, life consists of good and bad. But God's always a hero in these stories. When you truly study the Word of God, you'll see that many times God God got angry and a lot of people died and whole nations were raised from this planet Earth through the wrath of God. But it is still a good God that made that decision and allowed that to happen and even commanded it. Still a good God. We see in the Word of God that when God moves, He's always the hero, but He's the hero of some people and the people is His people. God's got always, in the Word of God, He's always backing His people who He also calls His friends. Have you ever read that scripture where God says, "Now I call you friends and not slaves"? God literally sees His people as His friends. His desire, His heart as God is for us to have a relationship and be close in relationship. Why? Because He's a good God. And He created us as His people, His friends, His creation in His image, which is good. So why do I mention all this? Why all this so far? You see, there's one thing I want to leave with you on this day. Just this one thing. I can almost mention it and leave it there and we go home. The moment you realize who God is and what God's heart is, you and I will think differently and act differently. Think about this. You have troubles, you have situations in your life that's painful, frustrating, bigger than your abilities. You don't sleep at night or you don't know what to decide. Should you go left or right? You have no idea where to go. You know that moments in life where things get real. We all have moments like those. But you see, we in ourselves have a heart's desire in those moments. And oftentimes the desire of our hearts in moments like those are selfish and inaccurate to what it should be, or maybe inaccurate to what the truth of that matter. We basically see and hear what we want to see and hear. Ever had a fight like that? Come on, dear world. Jenny Elizabeth. Huh? Your aartappels is gebrand. You hear in that fight what you want to hear, and she will hear in that fight what she wants to hear. It's true. You have a desire of your heart in circumstances. But the moment you realize God's heart in those circumstances, you will think differently in it and you will act differently in it. So here's my question, and I want you to answer this to yourself right now. Do you know what God's heart is? What is God's heart? Dear is hart vir jou lewe. For your elke dag, for your identity. What's God's heart for your life right now? Who can go like, "I know exactly"? Come on, all the liars, lift your hands. That's you now. Who can honestly say, "I have no clue, bro"? You know, it's like God and He's big and He's awesome and mysterious and powerful. And nothing's impossible and all the knowledge and sermons and the whole Bible this thick. How should I know what God's heart is? You see, it's difficult, but it's important. Because the moment we know the heartbeat of God, the moment we realize what God's heart is, we will act and speak and pray and be different than we are mostly. Think about your life. How many times do you literally do things and it's in your own power and your own way? Where your husband says, "We will not buy that car." And then you go buy that car, go home with that new car, and there's no money to pay it. Why? Because your heart said, "I will." But you know what? We don't need more shoes. We don't have enough space for more shoes. And you go buy 3 pairs of 6,000 rand shoes. What does that whole thing create in your life and house? Think about it. Let's get real. How about you, a parent, and the dad says no and the mom says yes? Ever had that moment in your life where there's that conflict and frustration about my heart, your heart, and the kid in the middle? How many times in our lives, in that circumstance, that type of moment, do we invite God into that and say, "God, what's your heart for this?" You can taste this. This is how you can taste it. In the middle of that fight where you as a dad goes, "Yes, He can," and you as a mom, "No, He cannot." In that moment, we go like, "Time out. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's take hands. Let's pray and ask God for what He wants. So who fights like that? Come on. All the liars, lift your hands if that's what you do. Because I know people. I know myself. Therefore, I know people. In the middle of the fight, the last thing on your mind most of the time is let's pray and ask God for His heart. True? Let's be real. And every bad decision you make, how many times do you walk forward and go like, before I make this bad decision, let me pray about it and ask God's heart. Lord, should I drink so much that I'm paralyzed? What's your heart? It sounds stupid. But the moment we know God's heart in a moment like that, I promise you this, a lot of pain and suffering and frustration will be erased from your life. The moment you enter into a fight, but God's in the middle as a referee, His heart is the foundation of that fight. You will not hurt your spouse. You will not hurt the one you're in relationship with. You will not hurt and abuse verbally your children because you stayed in control based upon God's heart. Think about this. It's simple, but it's deep. It's simple, but it influences your whole life. Before I act, before I speak, even before I pray, do you ask God what His heart is? So I ask again, what's God's heart for you? If it's a blank at the moment, I want to encourage you to seek and pursue God's heart. You see, it's important that we not just speak this, but we go actively into a pursuit where we desire the heart of God. Why? Why mention this? Why have this simple topic in this day? Why come to church to hear, okay, my Here is a heart soek? It sounds so mediocre. Why? Because God calls His children who seek His heart friends. You're a friend of God the moment you pursue His heart. When it becomes a desire and a passion in your life to daily not miss the heartbeat of God, to not miss God's heart, even in the fights, you are called a friend. You are called His people. Now, when we look at the Bible times, the Israelites were called His people. And where they went, everyone knew that this is God's people. And if you study the Word of God, you'll see that if the people, the enemy, came against the Israelites, the physical people, the group of people, guess what? They physically came against God. And for that reason, because the Israelites were founded and rooted within the place where they pursued God's heart, they did what God desired, they entered where God spoke, they accepted where God said stuff, that place, God had their back. God helped them to overcome many battles, many challenges, Goliaths, oceans opened up, people walked on water. Thousands of people were fed by only a few fish and bread. Why? There was an active pursuit for the heart of God. And when that was established, when it was created, God said, now you're mine and I've got your back. So it is really important that we as a church, we as individuals, pursue God's heart. If you do not pursue God's heart, I promise you this, the enemy will pursue yours. If that's the only thing you remember in this day, if you do not pursue the heart of God, I promise you, your enemy will pursue yours. And your lifestyle, your words, your deeds, your drinking, your eating, your sleeping, your visions, your dreams for life will be influenced by that. You see, in this day, I want to mention three steps towards asking God about His heart. See, a lot of you, and I believe most of you, and maybe all of you, say, I don't know God's heart. I don't realize God's heart. I don't really tap into that in the moments I should tap into it. See, I want to leave three steps with you. There's three things you can do daily, physically, in prayer. And when you wake up, when you shower, when you eat, when you're washing dishes, you can literally do this and move closer to that place where you realize God's heart. It's a place where God calls you friend. It's a place where God says, I've got your back. It's a place where God says, if the enemy speaks against you, I will speak for you. It's that place. You see, the first thing, can you say ask? Yeah, tell devil, say for ask. Vra from what? See, she asked you what? She asks is this simple three things. The A is assess. You and I need to assess the conditions of our hearts daily. Now, I know you know this. Ek weet, alweer kerk en ek my hart ondersoek. I know, I get it. I get that feeling of nie alweer nie. But the truth of the matter is, if we do not assess in a daily basis our conditions of our hearts, we might be in real trouble. You see, the Israelites many times in their lives, they lost focus of their hearts and the heart of God, and then they made calves for idols, idol gods. They swayed, they backslid. I'll say, baie keer, yes, I get backslid. That's what happens if you do not daily assess the condition of your heart. Because your heart might not be in an active pursuit for the heart of God anymore. Your active pursuit might have focused on money, might have focused on maybe physical houses. Maybe your focus went to relationships and that's the only thing that matters. If you do not assess and ask God, where are your heart and my heart daily? You're playing with dangerous things. You're walking on dangerous grounds. Dis daai ding van Lion King en Mufasa van everything where the light touches, that is our kingdom. Maar jy gaan nie verby dit nie. You are walking past that. You are going into the dark areas of the countryside. You're not supposed to be there. See, the second one and ask is the S. It stands for search. We are supposed to search the scriptures for the conviction of God's heart daily. You see, when we search for the heart of God in His Scripture, because His Scripture, His Word is truth, His Word is accurate, His Word is faithful, His Word is uplifting, His Word cuts away, His Word touches where no man can touch. I promise you that. It fulfills, it speaks, it's alive. When you search God's heart in His Word, I promise you, your assessment of your own heart will change. So let's rewind. Before searching for God's heart, it's all about you. Your heart is all about what can you get out of it? What can you gain out of it? How can this benefit me and my family? How is this something that will benefit my future? Will I succeed in this? It's all you. But the moment God enters that place and there's an active pursuit for His heart and you start searching in the Word of God for His heart, your heart condition will change. Example. Before the fight happens between the mother and the father and the child, you would have prayed that morning, Lord, give us the answers for this day already. God, prepare my heart, my mind, my decisions for this day that is ahead of me and my family. I pray, guide me, Holy Spirit, in this. Because I want your heart, God, for this day. So when you walk to that bar once again and you open that door once again, in that moment, something within you will go like, you shouldn't be here. Something within you will go like, you better than this decision. Why? Because that pursuit of God, what do you want? That active pursuit, that submitting to, that will change your decisions. But when you do not care, you will enter. You will enter, you will be hurt, you will be frustrated, you will just go deep into this pit. You are digging in your life. You see, the last one of ask is the K. You see, you and I, we are supposed to be knitted right into the heart of God. We are supposed to study the Word of God. We are supposed to pray so much. We are supposed to seek His face daily in prayer and just a journey with Him to the point where we are entwined in Him. So I can tell you how those people look. It's those people where you go like, yes, ja, jy is nou weer so heilig. You are so holy. I ken jou. Everything is church. When I say, let's go drink wine, no, I've got band practice. Do you know people like that? Both sides? Those who point the finger and those who say, but I'm in the pursuit of God's heart. And if you say all these things, it's fine because I know the worth of what I'm doing. I know the effect. I know the value. I know the power behind a God that calls me friend. See, that's how you quickly know that you are in a good pursuit of God. The 50 friends become basically two. Come on, I see smiles. A lot of people know what I'm talking about. The 100 WhatsApps with all those jokes disappear, and the only thing you get is the church adverts. Yeah? Your birthday party is you and a cupcake. But you pray before you eat it. Why? Because you're in pursuit with God. Lord, I desire your presence. I desire your movement. I desire my life based upon your will. And where I fall, when I fall and where I make mistakes, Lord, I know you will pick me up. Because if I pursue your heart, you call me friend. We are supposed to be closely knit within God's heart. I want to show you something. Where's Donnie? Come, Donnie. Come up here. Bring Michael with. Come, Mikhail. You're my favorite person. Bring it. Bring it, Donnie. I want to show you something. Maybe you're listening to this on the internet, online. We've got a blue bucket. Within this bucket, we have two plastic holders. The one is a Batman one, the best one ever. And then there's a black one. They're both filled with different things, and I want to show you the different things right now. So, Michael, stand over this bucket. Hold your hands like that. All right. So, Donnie, all you need to do is whatever's in your bucket, you rub it as hard onto his hands as possible. All right, do it, Donnie. Not in his face, but on his hands. So, Michael's hands are currently filled with a lot of dust. Dirty ground, sand. And as we rub it, it's going to go into his skin. It's going to go into his nails. It's going to leave a mark. And he came out differently than he stepped into it. When Michael came onto stage and I said, stand here, take this. His hands didn't look like this. His hands was not filled with dust and sand and dirt. His hands was clean before this moment. Before Donovan came, threw the dust on his hands and I rubbed it in onto his skin, he was clean. He was different. See, in life, this happens to a lot of people when we do not pursue the heart of God. You see, in Exodus, we find that the people were in a situation where they were bound in Egypt. Which people? God's people. God's people lived in Egypt where a lot of dust and sand were filled and around that city. It's all that it consisted of was bricks and sand. And God's people, Michael, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt filled with sand, and they labored away building Pharaoh's kingdom, the enemy's kingdom. And after many years in their hearts and lives, there were physical marks like dust on their hands physically because they were slaves building away in the enemy's camp filled with sand. But you see, there came a day where God said, enough. And as Michael and Donovan stands here, I want to read this whole story to you quickly. Exodus 3 says, now Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness. Verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was on fire, yet it was not consumed. So here's the burning bush moment. You should know the story. Verse 3, so Moses said, I must turn away from the flock and see this great sight. He could not believe his eyes, so therefore he left the sheep and he went to this bush that's on fire but not consumed. Why the bush is not burned up? Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned away from the flock to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, so in this burning bush moment, God speaks from this fiery bush and he says, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Verse 5. Then God said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet out of respect, because the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Verse 6. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Let me just pause here for a second. When God said, I am the God of, God says that I, before you, many generations before you, I were and is the friend of all the people before you. They knew me, they knew my heart, they pursued me, and I covered them. What he told Moses is, you're a part of this generation. I am your God. Like I am the God of all those people, I am your God. Remember the dust now. Remember the Israelites being slaves in Egypt. Then Moses hid his face. Verse 7, then the Lord said, I have in fact seen the affliction, the suffering, the dissolution of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard these cries because of these taskmasters and oppressors. For I know their pain and their suffering. So here's God speaking to Moses saying, I see the dust on the hands of my people. They are my people. They are suppressed. They are oppressed. They suffer. They are in pain. They labor away. I see it. And then verse 8. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand, the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a land that is, and get this, good and spacious, to a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty, to a place of the Canaanites. So what God said in this moment was this. I see my people and their marks. I see the dust on their physical hands, but I see the dust of the enemy's camp in their hearts. I see the dust over their lives. My desire is not for my people to literally stand here and be filled with dust. It's not God's heart that you and I are full of marks and dust of this world. But your heart, if it's not rooted in the heart of God, will cause marks like these on your clothes, on your hearts, on your minds, on your words, the way you act, the way you speak. And the moment you leave God out of the picture and you do not pursue His heart, this is your reality for life. There will be a mark on your heart and emotions for the rest of your life. You will labor away in this world and daily you will go like, why do I even exist? For I labor, but it's in vain. It means nothing. It's empty. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about because I believe you felt that before. Why should I take one more breath? Why should I join? Why should I be a part? Why? I tell you this, because the pursuit of God's heart does something amazing in the lives of His people. I want to read this one verse. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says this, I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. If you know God's heart, you will know that this scripture is God's heart. One of the things of God's heart is for us to not have the blemishes and the marks of the enemy in our lives and in the hearts. He wants to come, He wants to take, and He wants to clean. He wants to clean your heart. He wants you to be active in it. He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to stand and feel refreshed. He wants you to feel the release of every bit of thing that was on your hands that was caused by the enemy. He wants you to be different. His heart is not for you to slave in Egypt where the dust fills everything. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. His heart is to clean. His heart is to set free like he told with Moses. I want to take you and the Israelites and set you free from Egypt. I want to make you look and seem and smell and speak and act differently than everyone is aware of and accustomed to. Do you feel different? Is it just that? No one's perfect, Michael. How's that now? Listen, I can fix it, no problem. Do you get this? It's a real simple thing. It comes down to pursue the heart of God. For when you pursue the heart of God, He's got your back. No matter your slavery, no matter your circumstance in life, no matter your condition of your spiritual life, your heart, your mind, the God who you are supposed to pursue, His heart is for you to be free and clean from your enemies, your struggles, your addictions. The list goes on, you know it. He wants you to walk out different from this house today than you came in. But you see, yet again, like last week, there's a table prepared. Will you decide to go sit by it or not? Will you in this day decide this is worth a risk? Because I tell you, if you are struggling in your heart and mind in this day, yes, like Akvietni, I'm not sure about this. This is weird. This is strange. I mean, there's water on stage and weird people with sand. And if your mind is going crazy right now, let me ask you this. Why do you have to lose? Why do you have to lose other than maybe sickness and illness in your body? Why do you have to lose maybe other than depression in your mind? Maybe then addiction and alcoholism. Maybe it's that. But why do you have to lose by risking God's heart in your life? Thanks, guys. As they walk off, I want you to close your eyes as we're going to enter into a moment. We're going to play a song, and this is your space and place. If you need to move away maybe from the person you're sitting next to, just to create some space, do that. Because this is not about your friend or your wife or your partner next to you. This is about you and God in this day, right now. See, God is knocking on the hearts of everyone in this place. And He's saying, do not pursue your own heart and your desire, but pursue my heart. For those who pursue God's heart will be called friends of God. He's got your back. Come on, don't you need an almighty God who's got your back? Don't you need a God who speaks out for you when there's an Egyptian army behind you? Don't you need God to speak into your addiction, your alcoholism, your drug addiction? Maybe God needs to speak into that place. Maybe it's just your future and where you're supposed to go and you don't know. Don't you need a God with a God's heart to speak into that? So we're going to dim the lights and we're going to play a song, and I want you to prepare your heart. I want you to ask yourself the question, what is my heart's condition in this day? And what am I pursuing actively? We'll end the service after the song and just spend a moment in prayer.
I can't. keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Can only come from you, Father God. I pray that every soul and every body and every household will be deeply rooted, Father, within your presence. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will convict every heart from this day on forward, that we will be in an active pursuit for your heart, God, that we will not miss it, that we will not pursue our own things and our own desires and our own abilities, Lord, but let us be in an active pursuit of your heart. So, Lord, remind us. Father, speak into our daily life. Journey this with us, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that we will walk out differently, cleansed by your washing in this day. Father, let people experience it. Let them know it. Let them just know in this week something is different. So Lord, be God in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray it. Amen and amen.